jazz.
That really was smooth. I don't really know where we've
gone. So smooth.
I lost track of time for a bit there. I was feeling good. I don't know. I mean, yeah, here we are, episode 60. We're back with Trader Main. He was one of the first, maybe the second person we had on the show back in the day.
Yeah, I think second. I think second.
He said Main's getting double audio. It says in the green room. I don't know. Are we good there? Can you hear us, Main?
Or you I can hear you, but I'm hearing
you have
myself.
You have a tab open or something? This isn't technical difficulties on us. This is you. Just make that known. We don't want to take.
Tanya, okay, is you all right? Okay, sweet.
We take a lot of shit for technical difficulties.
I had to close the tab.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that wasn't us. That was not us. We got Ovi, who's going to talk about our sponsor. He's drinking a warm whiskey and Coke with no fucking ice.
That is just a rogue drink.
Really disgusting. He's here. He is.
Hey guys. What am I doing?
The roll bit.
Sorry. Yeah.
Same bit as every week.
Sorry. That warm whiskey is hitting hard.
What am I doing? What am I doing? What is life?
Yeah. Hey guys. As you know. As you know, the show is sponsored by Rollbit, so make sure you guys check out rollbit.com for basically everything crypto these days. We've got two codes to give away. The first code is TraderMain512. We'll have a second code to give away at the end of the show, and we will do the loot box spins at the end as well, so definitely stick around for that. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and you can watch us on Twitter Live, YouTube, probably. I'm not actually sure. Like every week, I don't really know where we're streaming this, but probably a lot of places, a lot of really cool places. Main has a big YouTube presence. We know that. So it'd be a good synergy if we were there. I'm not really sure. Anyway, what's good, Main?
Not much, man. You know, surviving, recovering from a bit of a Mexican illness that has been.
How can you be so sure it was Mexican is the real question.
In which area?
I'm pretty sure. I bought it directly from the pharmacy there. So it's definitely in country. No, man. I mean, listen, it's been good. It's hard to believe it's been over a year since we last did this. And, you know, basically we're at the stone bottom. FTX had stolen all my money. And here we are now. FTX is giving it all back.
That's actually maybe, crazy. Yeah, you were a big.
Maybe it's going to be the top.
You were a big debtor or creditor. I don't fucking know. I'm not an accountant, but you're on the wrong side of the book on the FTX scandal for like a fucking lot. And now today we got news that FTX claims might probably be paid in whole.
100%. I mean, I think people who are holding crypto will be disappointed that they're getting paid back, obviously, in dollars, not in, you know, the crypto equivalent of whatever they had, but I think that was to be expected. Like anyone expecting them to be like, hey, I want Bitcoin, but I now want it at 45k, not at 15k, were delusional. Hey, I mean, I never sold my claim. I've considering it, I've been having conversations about it, but now if it's like I'm gonna get back 100%, it's kind of like, you know, do I just wait it out until they finally ship it back?
Obviously, what's the other option? Sell it now?
Well, you can sell it and get it sooner. I guess it's just a time value of money thing, right? Like, it's okay if I sell it now, I get it now,
right? No, but either way,
I think you should keep it, right? Because they have a bunch of stuff they haven't liquidated yet. Like, I think they could actually hit a home run, right? They own that AI company, they own a few other things where like they could be like, you could end up. Keep on being paid by FTX for like many years as a creditor here.
Yeah, the only reason to sell, I think, is time value of money. You want the money now, and you know you want to roll it directly into crypto because you're an absolute degenerate gambler. So we'll see. I mean, I was gonna like buy a house. That was kind of my plan. I was like, I'm gonna sell this claim. I've already written the money off mentally. I'm just gonna like buy a house with it, and the money's still gone. But now I have a house. Florida, baby, let's go.
Florida, wow, look at that.
I think
Canada, Florida, that's quite a snowbird move.
I think it's got to be done, man. I gotta go join all the retired Jews down there.
There you go, your people. I love it.
My people.
So we've had a bit of a come up since the FTX crash days. I mean, the market's kind of fluctuating. up and down here in this little range since the ETF, the Jupe airdrop today. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the current state of affairs in the markets and how you feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, we've been going up for a year, right? I think a lot of people who are, you know, been sticking it out, like, to me, this hasn't really been like, this hasn't felt like a bear market. Like, people like, you know, the bear market's ending or whatever. I'm like, I feel like we've been in a bull market since FTX, basically. I mean, we're up 100% plus, 150% on Bitcoin, 150-odd% on Ethereum, way up, way more on things like Solana and AVAX and TIA. And there's been a ton of money to be made over the last year. I think it's setting up for, you know, a very exciting 2024. To be in crypto. We obviously have the halving coming up as well. So I think kind of just from like a macro scale, seems pretty fucking good. Obviously with the ETF approval now kind of out of the way, now we have the Ethereum ETF to be reminded of every day until that eventually happens. It all seems good. I think if you're a crypto bull and you're kind of a holder and you're a long-term kind of player, everything seems good. I think on the short term, I'm not 100% sure that the low of this pullback is in yet, but I mean, it's been an awesome year based on where we were when we did this episode last time to now. I don't think a lot of people would have predicted, you know, we'd be trading near 50K with an ETF approved, and all the other fun stuff that's happened. So hard to be upset if you've been bullish on crypto.
So are you calling the end? Are you calling the end of this? What is this? Was this a victory speech or what is this?
No, I mean, I think, listen, I mean, every time we've had a halving, we've made an all-time high after. So, I mean, history would say that we're going to make an all-time high again, maybe this year, maybe 2025, which I think is fantastic. I do think the way that things work are going to change. With things like ETFs getting involved, I personally am of the mindset that the ETF probably leads us to start trading more and more like a traditional asset, at least Bitcoin, and then potentially Ethereum. So things like when the markets open will become more important, you know, session timing. Maybe we won't get as crazy volatility on the weekends and things like that anymore.
I mean, this sounds fucking great because you know what sucks? Staying up all night trading crypto.
Yeah. Dude, I live on the West Coast.
I like 9:30 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's perfect. I hope it does.
I live in the worst time zone for trading, not to mention when the market doesn't close. It's horrible. But no, I mean, I think it's going to be a good year. I think the only thing I'm bearish on potentially short term is I wouldn't be surprised if we see another wipeout, you know, sub 40K, before continuing up. But that could be wrong. Obviously, I mean, we'll see. I think people have kind of already started to ignore the whole, you know, GBTC outflows, you know, ETF inflows. I think that was the topic of conversation for like a week, and now no one really gives a shit. Now we're talking about the Jupe airdrop and the Ethereum ETF. So, I think it's going to be a good year. I think short term, I think sideways, maybe a little bit more down. Long term, up and to the right.
Yeah. What's your play here? Are you trying to like time the short term moves and catch it at the right time, or just
nothing like I used to? Yeah. I mean, I definitely, my nuts got clipped on FTX. Like, I don't have the confidence in centralized exchanges to keep the amount of money I used to keep on there and therefore trade the size I used to trade. I'm trading 10% of the size I used to trade on some of these moves. And it's frustrating when I nail them and I'm like, oh, that, you know, 20K used to be 200K. That would have been pretty sweet. But anything I'm doing on the trading front to me is short term. I'm looking to buy more spot bags on any sort of significant correction, if given. I also think it's funny. People are always like, you know, asking me in Discord and YouTube, oh, what altcoins, blah, blah. Like, I'm a boomer. I've been in this game long enough and I have enough money that if Bitcoin goes to 150K, which would be phenomenal, right? Like, I think if Bitcoin went to 150K this cycle, everyone would be stoked, right? And Ethereum went to 10K, everyone would be like, you know, extremely excited. I would make enough money that it is significant. But if you're trading a five-figure portfolio, Ethereum going 5X from here is not probably your meal ticket that you're looking for. Bitcoin doing a 3 or 4X from here. So the stuff that I'm generally doing is probably not applicable to, I think, a lot of maybe newer entrants into the crypto space. Y'all got to be doing the stuff that, you know, people like Ansem and these people who are grinding airdrops and trading Solana shit coins and, you know, finding those new narratives and those new coins. That's the way you're going to turn 5 or 6 figures into, you know, 7 or 8 figures. You're not going to do it kind of holding the old guard anymore, unfortunately, unless you're dealing with a pretty big stack already.
Seems like the airdrop play has been like the best one in the last 2 or 3 months. Like, people have just crushed it on like Solana and all this other stuff. I don't know about now, because like, I feel like I was late to that game and I looked at stuff and it's just like, oh, I just missed this and I missed that. Like, and you look at the effort to like farm these airdrops, like, man, I just like can't be bothered to like fucking set up all these wallets and like do these trades and stuff. And I think it's $0 at all. Yeah, I mean, if you're playing with like low stakes, it's worth it. But if you're playing with like more money, then it's just like, but
that's right? He has like a thousand different wallets. He just has like bots to do them all at the same time.
Listen, I'm not nearly autistic enough to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed that I got in this game early enough that I was rewarded with time in the market to do well, as opposed to, because there's a ton of people who are outworking the shit out of me, and I know it, and I can't bring myself to being like, I'm gonna try and farm. It just doesn't seem like a good use of my time. I'm probably wrong. I know a bunch of people who got 5 figures dropped into their wallet this morning. I'm just like, it's just not my game. I do think there is so many ways to make money in crypto these days. It's not like it used to be where you just buy and sell and you just trade and you hold or whatever. That it can almost be overwhelming and you can kind of fall to like paralysis by analysis or whatever you want to call it, where there's, you're like, I'm not farming these airdrops. I'm not also in Telegrams figuring out what the new soul shitter is. And I'm not, you know, investing and punting in 50 different deck screener tabs that I have open. And then you end up doing nothing. I think you're much better off figuring out something that you are good at and that you can actually do and you can build a process around. And focus on that, right? Find your edge. Maybe it's trading. Maybe it is farming airdrops. Maybe it's spraying and praying in shitcoins. But you don't need to have your hands, as much as people online want you to think that they are in every single thing. There's a good chance you'll probably make more money if you really hone in on one thing that you can do and you do it very well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. That could be NFTs too. I see people crushing these Bitcoin ordinals and like printing in all different ways. Crypto really is just like that space that you can find some weird niche and just, you know, create money out of thin air for just being there. And sounds like you're past that game. Now you're old man lazy main. You're just
Your show you was just completely different. I remember you're like, yeah, I turn up each day. I look for like 4-hour trades every single day. Now you're just like, chill. I'm spot long. Like, I sometimes move around.
I mean, that's nice. That's comfy.
Yeah, I mean, when it's time to grind and it's time to trade, like I still do it and I'm still actively trading. I mean, also I started a new business. You know, I'm part of a community in the Haven. I think I've changed kind of maybe my priorities a little bit over the last year. I think it's very easy on Twitter to get caught up in the influencer, like, hey, I'm posting, I'm helping people. I want to, you know, make sure that I'm getting everyone. It's like, I really, at the end of the day, I want to make money for myself. I'm not nearly as concerned as I used to be about making sure that I'm, you know, making other people money as much as I've cared about, you know, am I making money? Am I enjoying my life? Like, you've got to prioritize yourself first. I think I was very deep and it kind of culminated for me, to be honest with you, with the FTX, you know, getting hacked, is I was so deep into leverage trading and unhealthy habits with trading, with my lifestyle, with spending money, partying, not sleeping enough, But I was making a bunch of money, so it was okay. You know, it was a good kind of step back, you know, and wake up call that, like, okay, you know, this stuff's pretty fickle. So I've spent the last year, to be honest with you, divesting, not like I'm leaving crypto, but I want to have, you know, it's way cooler than being crypto rich, being rich in the real world. You know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've gone out with crypto people and like a bill comes and they're like, I don't have a Visa. I'm like, aren't you a millionaire? It's like, yeah, but I don't have a bank account. It's like, so what the fuck? Does that mean I have to pay and you're going to send me Tether or something? So I've definitely made a focus over this last year to diversify, get into some real estate, you know, start some businesses that pay me, you know, actual dollars as opposed to just getting paid for stuff in crypto. And I think that it's been a big weight off my shoulders just in terms of a sense of security. Because FTX just showed me how easy it is that you can lose it, no matter how confident you are in the platform you're using, the wallet you have, your OPSEC, whatever. Anyone can get hacked. Anyone can get rugged. So, yeah, I don't know. Things have changed a little bit in the last year for sure.
I think it's good. I think it's good. Like, yeah, it's good to sleep at night. I agree with you. Like, I think taking money out is always feels good. Like, there's never a time where taking money out of crypto into your bank account doesn't feel good. Because suddenly it's like, even in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, fuck, someone's just going to, like, I'm going to get hacked. Or, like, no matter how safe you are, like, you just know there's always that outside possibility. Whereas it's, you know, it is sometimes it's like, I mean, where we are full boomering on Wrecked Radio here right now. Like, yeah, you should take money out and put it into a bank account, guys. But yeah. I do agree that it is nice. I think it actually allows you, I think from my perspective, it allows me to take way more risk as well. Like, I know you did that recently, Obi. Like, you took some money out and then you basically just piled everything you had into a shitcoin. So
yeah, basically,
that's the opposite of what you just said.
I just paid.
He's like a shitcoin whale in that one chat, man. He's like, I'm fucking XYZ worth. It's a big number usually. I don't want to dox his amounts, but Jesus Christ, Wobi. I think it's just those whiskeys during the day they get you.
Yeah, I try not to like drink and trade these days because I think I've made some good and bad decisions when doing it. But it's kind of like just being at the casino, isn't it? Really, just like put a ton on 50-50 odds. It either works or it doesn't. But taking money out to fiat is so underrated. Like, even like I took some money out, I think about 3 weeks ago, like right after the ETF, and like I just paid my taxes today. For us, like, our tax deadline is 31st of January in the UK, and like my taxes turned out to be like about 30 or 40% higher than they thought they were going to be, which is like even more, which is a lot big number, because like I'm paying taxes on like the sales of all those apes we sold last year right now. So yeah, so I was like fuck, I've got to pay this much in tax. But I was like, damn, I'm so glad I took that money out into fiat 4 weeks ago, because if had I waited until now, that entire amount, like, that's been deprecated by the market, I would have ended up like that's the amount that I've just paid in tax now that hasn't cost me. So but it's just, yeah, I don't know.
I'm not gonna, nothing, like, worse than not having money that you owe taxes on.
Yeah. Worse if you're stuck in NFTs and you owe tax, then you're just like, you're in an illiquid asset where you owe tax and you just have to liquidate things at like levels which are like through bid offer because there's
not a good time being in that position.
You're just flooring shit.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Kevin, didn't mean to.
Yeah, I've done that before. I think, yeah, this is now retirement radio, not rec radio. But yeah. You guys have really matured. Maybe I need to. I feel like I'm the only one who still maybe is working on that. But, you know, better days ahead. We're doing better. The market's moving around. Volatility is always good.
Going high, man.
I agree. It's about taking some money off your stack and letting it add up a bit. And at least, you know, I did convert a lot of money to real world, so that was good. I do have some positive experience with that.
Is this like a thing with Mando's skin being unusually?
I didn't see anything. I haven't seen any comments about that. I haven't seen anything about
how moisturized you look.
It has kind of morphed into a thing. I think he like oils up before the show. I'm not sure.
I do not oil up before the show. I have a moisturizing in the morning, and it's some bright lights, and literally every single show for the last 5 weeks, I've just gotten destroyed, like absolutely destroyed in these comments. So it started early today. It's now become a bit of a thing on the show. It's kind of like your neck, you know, it just comes up. I don't even know what the streams are like for you, but like, it's just a constant presence at the moment during our shows.
Well, my best advice is lean into it, because it's not going to stop either way.
Just be the shiny guy. Like,
yeah, I know. I think it's the neck thing's really funny. Like, I think when you think of oil, I mean, what sort of things are you going to put yourself in?
Oh my God.
Some sprays.
Her intern is just a non-nice guy.
But can we hear the K story? Is that like global? And
I mean, if you want to,
yeah. That's weird, why not?
I mean, have you guys been to Mexico before?
Yes.
Yeah. So in Mexico, you can go into a pharmacy and you can buy a lot of stuff legally. One of those things is, you know, ketamine. It is for animals. Like, it's got a cow and a horse and like a chicken on the
bottle. But you can buy it at a pharmacy.
You can buy it straight up over the counter at a pharmacy. Now, you can't just do that ketamine. It's way too potent. However, with a little bit of, you know, MacGyvering, you can dilute it down into you can cook it. You can dilute it with saline, let's say, in a nasal bottle. And if one was interested in partaking in that, it could be quite fun. I was down there for a bachelor party, and you know, my friend's like, hey, we're safe, we're not doing drugs from the streets of Mexico. I'm like, okay, that's good. We're old now, right? We're in our 30s, we're not buying drugs from drug dealers. But what I wasn't aware of is they were just gonna go buy animal grade ketamine and just do that instead. Yeah, so that was basically my last, you know, 4 days, and I'm slowly coming out of the K-hole, it seems, and back to reality.
And I nearly died on. Yeah, you feel like you die in one of those when it goes bad on ketamine. But I haven't had it for like 15 years, maybe. But it's been a while. Like, that's a wild trip. I guess it's kind of popular on the West Coast now, right? Like, everyone, Rose on ketamine. Doing it. Everyone on the West Coast is doing it.
It's like, you know. High society individuals, hey, like just at the dinner table in Cali.
It's the funniest thing, because it makes you so like sluggish, and like you just see all the. I'm like, what? It's just a weird drug of choice.
It's not really a party drug. Like, yeah, you definitely get
it's
more like a basement, like crawl around type drug.
It's like I want to be in a beanbag chair and not move.
Not at a club, like trying to survive and not get kicked out. Yeah, that sounds like a terrible mission. Anyway,
yeah, it's true. Elon's on it, right? Like they accused him. Yeah. They accused him of like fucking up, turning up to a Tesla meeting, I think, on a ton of K, and they were like gonna fire him or something.
Well, a guy like Elon needs to like balance out the high level autism ADHD, I imagine, maybe with some ketamine.
Fair. I think we can cool himself down, especially for an investor meeting. I think that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna hit the pre-K.
So what are your streams like at the moment? Like what are you doing if you're just like a bit more chilled?
I'm still streaming, man. I've been on YouTube since 2017. I have like 700 videos. So if you want to learn how to trade, there's 700 videos on my YouTube where I will teach you completely for free. You just got to go watch them. But yeah, I still stream every single week. I didn't stream. Normally I stream on Monday, but I was pretty much bedridden this Monday. So there he is. 692 videos. It's absurd. I'm on there. I'm going to stream later today. But I usually do a live stream and I'll cover basically anything people are wanting to know. I've got an editor, as you can see here, so he goes ham making all of my shorts and my clips. The dude's a beast. But
what about this new business you started? You sounded like you matured this maturity arc. You're a builder now. Did you build in the bear?
Yeah, I'm building. I still stream on YouTube every week. I'm still posting in my Discord. I've got, you know, my Telegram where I'm posting all my charts. I've definitely stopped my signal to noise ratio on Twitter has gotten way worse because I just don't give a shit anymore. To be honest with you, I think crypto Twitter is probably, and Twitter in general, is one of the most toxic apps out of all the social media apps. Like, if you're actually trying to build a community and you're trying to build something, I think YouTube is a way, way better audience. People are actually like appreciative of you, like sitting on there, you know, sharing stuff, where it's just so easy to be a troll on Twitter that I'm just like, you know what? I'll make it a little bit harder to get, I hate the word alpha, but like the alpha, like if you want the charts, you got it. My Telegram's free, but you got to join it. It's one extra step that you got to go through that, hey, I'm actually interested in what this guy has to say. Or yeah, you got to follow me off Twitter. You got to go to YouTube and watch the video. You know, if you want my analysis, as opposed to where I used to focus putting everything on Twitter. Yeah, started a business about two months ago, I guess. Yeah, 2 months ago. Wow. It's been 2 months. So it's Breakout Prop. So myself and Uncle Send It from Twitter. He's a huge influencer, much bigger than me. I think he's got 1,000 followers or something. But a very popular guy, looks like Big Bird. But we decided to build something. I mean, I think I've started businesses before, as has he. Trading is a very lonely game. And one of the reasons I got into content creation is so I could feel like I was giving back in a way. I could add something to society, because if you were just trading, it's probably one of those jobs or career paths where you're literally adding zero value to the world. Really, you're extracting value from other people. Like, you know, maybe you're giving away to charity and things like that, but you're not really doing a net positive to the world trading. You know, you're by yourself, you're extracting money from other people through the means of the market. So content creation was a way that I felt like at least I was doing something for people. Okay, you know, maybe helping people on their trading journey, helping them learn how to invest, manage their own money, whatever it is. But building a business is really fun. You know, having a team, having a purpose every day where it's not just like, hey, I'm going to try and, you know, make a little bit of money, get a little bit of return on my investment, but actually be like, hey, I'm building a product and it's a product that people can use. I'm giving people jobs. You know, it's cool. It's fun. And I'd done it before. I ran a recruitment company for like 7 years. I built that to a multi-million dollar business and sold it. Kind of came up with this idea, and it's a prop firm. So it's a business model that already exists. FTMO is the biggest prop firm in the world, at least this type of prop firm. They're a $1 billion company and they do it for 4X. Basically, it's like an evaluation-based prop firm. So if you want to trade and you think the barrier to entry for you is you don't have enough money, well, using a prop firm, you can basically leverage our capital. And we've replicated that, but done it purely for crypto. So most of these other prop firms don't offer a crypto specific option. So we kind of solved that with our tech stack. We source our liquidity directly from Bybit. So if you're trading with Breakout, the order book that you see, the assets that you see, the spreads that you see on our platform are one-to-one what you would see trading directly on Bybit. We're also in process of setting up with Binance as well. So you have the option to choose if you want to trade Binance's order book, Bybit's order book. And it's pretty cool. This is a very big business in the Forex world. You'll see a lot of people on, you know, kind of money Twitter, and they say, hey, I'm a six-figure funded trader. I'm a seven-figure funded trader. It doesn't mean they have seven figures. It means they have $200,000 with five different prop firms. I think it's a good way for people who think that they know how to trade. Like if you think, hey, I've got a process, I think it works, but I want to perhaps have leverage, because that's what you're buying. You're buying leverage. You're paying us for an opportunity to trade an account bigger than what you'd be able to trade on your own. It's been going amazing. We've, you know, kind of smashed all of our expectations. We're growing rapidly. You know, we've paid out, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to people already, which is awesome. Money that potentially they might not have been able to make, you know, on their own, because maybe they only had $1,000 account, but now with us, they're trading a $10,000 account, $50,000 account. So, If you have questions, of course, always happy to answer. But, you know, if you want to know more, check out our Twitter. And the barrier entry is low. I think our cheapest account's $50. You know, so if you're a skeptic, you're unsure of how it works, $50, you can gain access to a $5,000 account. It's a pretty low barrier to entry to try something out.
So are you guys funding it, or is it crowdfunded?
So the way it works is it's an evaluation first. So first you got to prove you can actually trade, right? So we're not just going to give you money to trade, but it's notional capital. So what I mean by that is we decide who we want to A book or B book. We explain all this on our website. It's not like some hidden, this is how all these prop firms work. We have it, you know, if you go on our website, there's this page called Our Business Model. It explains all this in detail. But effectively, if you get funded with us, any money you make, you're eligible to get paid out up to 90% of it. So if you have a 100K account, you make 10 grand, $9,000, up to $9,000 of that, you can withdraw. On our end, depending on our risk parameters, we might A book someone, which means the trades that they take, we're backing with real capital, our capital. That'd be A booking. Or we could B book someone, which means that we're effectively
just fade them.
The other, we're effectively taking the other side of the trade, because there are going to be people that we think are worth backing with real dollars, and we think that their strategy is sustainable. And there's going to be people that we think maybe aren't worth backing, and we want to take the other side of the trade. To the end user, it makes no difference. If you're funded with us and you make money, you can withdraw that money. Whether you're A-booked or B-booked, there's no difference in experience, and there's no difference in whether or not you're going to get paid out.
So what's the average GPA of this class you got going here? For some reason, to me, it sounds like it's probably 3.0 and not 4.0.
That's proprietary. that's, of course, some proprietary information. I mean, listen, we've had some – we launched this business during probably the most volatile, unidirectional – couple month period in the market. You could trade. We had coins that went up 300 or 400%, you know, in the time that we had just launched. And we had a lot of people make a lot of money. We also had a lot of people lose a lot of money. I think our book is negative on Solana, and it's up 3x since our inception. And you might wonder how that's possible. And I'm asking myself the same thing. Crazy input
that from the back end. You fill a lot of information gaps as a trader. Could be probably
So, I mean, there's absolutely, you know, a business in the monetization of data in these types of businesses, right? It could be very valuable to a hedge fund or a firm who might want to know about the tendencies of traders. But to us, to me, it's an opportunity. Like I traded with FTMO personally years ago, because I was like, hey, for $300, I can trade a 100K FX account. Like I'm never going to put $100,000 on an FX broker, but now I'm trading a 100K account. All I need to do is risk 1%. And if I get a few trades right, now I'm making thousands of dollars a month. So there's a lot of upside here. If you are a trader who actually trades, right? You understand risk management, you're using stops, you're taking profit, things like that. If you're gambling, you're probably going to get cooked, just like you're going to get cooked in the real market, because we do have risk rules. We've got to protect ourselves. It's our money on the line at the end of the day. But yeah, it's I highly suggest you guys check it out, especially if you're someone who's like an active trader. This is a great product for someone who's like, hey, I'm waking up every day and I'm not doing DeFi shit. I'm not doing airdrops. I'm not doing NFTs. Like I'm logging in a Bybit. I'm logging into Binance and I'm trading to make a living. This is a product that I think you should look into because it's leverage, really.
Yeah, wow. Main the builder, main maturity, main episode, minus the ketamine section. We can delete that one if we want to rebrand this the maturity episode. But then,
yeah, I like how that story came before my new business.
Oh, yeah, that's sure. I think that's a great way to say
that. Bloomberg's going to run this one.
I think we can find a
very serious business, man.
I said, I think we can find a lot of B-book traders.
in the chat here.
We can give you a lot of people that are going to lose a lot of money if you need to. So just B-book them.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a business. I love it. No, it sounds like fun too and a really cool thing to be a part of. So what else do we got on the docket today, gents? I mean, we kind of touched on Solana, Jupe airdrop stuff. None of us got it. Well, I don't want to say that. You guys probably did. Mando, SF, you got it.
No, too late.
I got tiny. I used Jupiter a while back, but yeah, nothing. It's, I feel like that's the case with a lot of people that I met, though. Like, you have to, it feels like when Solana was big before, it was like Radium and Orca, right? And then Jupiter kind of came in just before the bear hit for FTX. So like, you had to be around. So like, it's more like OGs who got this airdrop. But
so is that kid, did he really get seven figures? Like, is that real, do we think? Or no, is that like fake. Just like that's some fake. Primo engagement farming?
Trading Benjamins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fake.
What is it? Some young kid.
He's had a few of them. He's like 100x like levered long Pepe.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I made seven figures on my Jupe airdrop, and here's how you can do it too. And I'm like, this just sounds like primo engagement baiting.
Yeah, like, that's what it sounds like.
Just fucking kill yourself, mate. Like,
oh.
too strong. Was that too hard?
Let me put the drink down. I just put it down, man.
One rubbing coke in this guy, and he just tells a guy to kill himself, and then
the guy doesn't say anything for weeks, and then
that was incredible.
Now we know what's going on in his head. Like, wow. Cool. You know,
maybe too strong.
There's something I'd like to brand. So, with what we've seen going on Solana over the last, let's call it, I don't know, 6 months, maybe less. Maybe it's been 4 months. But we've basically had this Ansem season, Solana season, right? Where Solana's been all the attention. Has there ever been a period in crypto Twitter in recent memory that has been more just blatant shilling of dog shit, like very clear pump and dumps paid shit? Like, it's been so bad. Like, I'm like,
this yeah is why bad. Is it allowed now? You're just allowed to show whatever you want,
because like, I'm old enough to remember, because I've been around longer than like 1 year in crypto, that we used to be like, hey, that's a $5 million market cap coin and you've got 100,000 followers, like, you shouldn't tweet that just because that seems insane.
I maybe tweet
now too. And now it's like $5 million. Fuck that. You're already late to the party. This thing's only got 50K. And I'm going to tweet it out.
They really are.
Yeah.
And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I hope some people see that. They were like, but it goes up. I'm like, but you know why it's going up, right? Yeah. Like, it's not.
It's a pump. It's
like, it's self-fulfilling. Of course it's going up. This person's got this many, and this is not a shot at anyone. I personally don't care. I think it's like, if you're buying shit because someone on the internet told you to, you are responsible for all the risk involved in that.
You're
a B-book trader. Okay. So you're responsible, right? If you're going to buy something because someone tweeted it to you and you're like, oh, maybe I should look at it. Like, I don't blame the shiller by any means, because I'm kind of like, listen, go get your bag. If people are going to listen, they're going to listen. And most people, you know, you get burned once or twice from someone. You say, okay, I'm not going to listen to that person anymore. But I just feel like it's gotten kind of out of hand, right? Like, I'm not the only one noticing that.
I think it's moved from protocols to meme coins. Like, it moved probably 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. Before, it was like, oh yeah, it's all about like the new, like, small metas, like, that you can catch quickly. And then about 3 months ago, it's like, yeah, we're just gonna shill meme coins. But that's what Solana wanted, right? It's fucking, that's what everyone in Solana just wants to fucking trade all day. So everyone just started paying attention to that sort of stuff. I think it kind of reminds me of NFTs 2021. It's similar to, like,
I think my pushback on that is, like, I think when you're shilling like Solana, or when you're shilling Jito, or shilling Jupiter, whatever, like, these are like big infrastructure type things, which are like big investments, but that's very different to, like, oh, hey, like, used car at like 5 million market cap. Like, it's a completely different thing. And I think you have to have an awareness of, like, the impact that has when you tweet something like that. And ultimately, like, it goes up, and then you sell it, and then a bunch of plebs buy it, and then they're the ones that lose money. You're the one that makes money. Like, I think
there gonna be repercussions on the back end for some of these US people who are just fucking disclosing too.
Probably not.
Non-disclosures going on.
Probably not, because I genuinely don't think he's like a bad person. There are people who do this like maliciously.
Illegal.
But I mean,
listen, it is people have gotten charged for a lot less than some of the stuff we see going on right now. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone specific because there's a ton of people doing it. And some people are a little more blatant. Like, and I genuinely think some people are just, they're in the game, they're in the arena, and they just happen to have a lot of followers. And like, and that's what I think of, like, a guy like Ansem. Like, I know Ansem is literally buying all of these fucking shit coins, and he's using all of these products and stuff. But then there's some people who it's like, okay, like there was a coin. I don't even care. I'll say the fucking name. So Sisyphus, he's like, someone explain to me who's this top Jeep guy? He's like the Indian Andrew Tate. I'm like, do you think you're slick? Like, we know that you own top Jeep coin and you want it to go up so you can dump it on your followers and they can have another free trip on Sisyphus Airlines. Like, to me, that's like insane. Oh, no. Like, yeah, come on.
Who the fuck would buy that and fall for that shit, right? Like,
OSF actually was one of the top. OSF is the second biggest holder of top G.
Dude, some of my friends held this literally, thing. Literally,
I was like, isn't this a shit? Are you serious? You're the top G?
Bring it up on SoulScan.
I'm not even the top G. I'm the top holder of top G. And I still own it.
Why? Yeah, so a bunch of my friends were
the last guy fucking holding it.
Thank you for flying. Thank you for flying.
Sisyphus, fucking yeah.
Wow.
There you go. Thanks for flying Sisyphus Airlines.
Yeah, that hits different when you see it that way.
Damn. Can we bring up the holders?
Look at the date of his tweet, and then let's look at the exact Pico top on price here. So, what is the top on price?
I'm that top wick, by the way.
Wow, how'd you get conned into this? Did you read that tweet and do a little research? And
oh, it's such
a January 22nd. I think was he in that first pump? Let's see. What was the date of that tweet?
I bought off that tweet, so yeah.
Looks like it went up since the tweet. I don't know. Well, I think the story.
And again, I'm not trying to take shots at anyone specific. This was just an example that came to mind where I'm like, this is like crazy to me. And maybe I'm the asshole because I'm like sitting here starting a company, like still grinding out trades, doing free YouTube videos, teaching people how to trade. And then there's people making six figures a month just chilling absolute hot fucking garbage. Yeah. So maybe I'm the dumbass. I don't know.
We had Wizard of Soho on. Yeah. He's known for this, but he like does it real publicly.
And yeah.
Tells you he's
well, you know what? I at least have respect for the fact that he says, listen, like every once in a while, something I shill is going to be a straight up rug. And if I'm shilling it, I'm probably getting paid. Like at least he's upfront about it. Like,
on you. Literally. Yeah. That's it. I mean,
to me, that's less greasy than the trying to be sly. Like, oh, explain top G to me. It's like, bro, like, do you think I'm retarded? Like, come on. Like,
I've become way more cynical, I think, in this cycle. Like, I'm just like, the shit that I see all the time, like, this is just the way it's always going to be. Like, it's just always going to be like this, I think. Like, it's just a fucking casino crypto. So, like, just feel like you're always going to have people acting badly. There's no fucking rules. Like, I don't know.
People get busted, I guess, for not, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you think, like, the ETF means that regulators are going to look at crypto more seriously, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that the regulators are still way behind. Like, if you're in the traditional finance world, there's this guy who goes by Zach Morris on Twitter. And he was basically like a penny stock caller, which is no different than what a lot of these guys are doing right now on Twitter, where they're saying, hey guys, like I got the next heater, right? They all load the fuck up, right? They announce it. It goes up like crazy. They sell into the pump. And like, they just got like straight up the SEC. Yeah. Like, and this is happening in crypto. Like,
yeah,
make no mistake, the people who are doing this stuff with these shit coins and stuff, they're doing exactly this. It is 100% illegal, to Keyboard's point, and like people will eventually start getting charged. How far behind are they? I don't know, but like if you're American,
yeah, you're fucking crazy if you're American doing this.
You're
shit.
Crazy to be doing this. You know, you better move to Dubai, Habibi. like ASAP.
Yeah, y'all
have but me. I mean, these guys made a ton of money, but yeah, the SEC like literally was like, yeah, you're running pump and dumps in America like crazy. Yeah, literally.
Sec these nuts. Oh man, Zach.
See, wow. The reason why I'm a bit more cynical about it is because I think people want it. I agree. Like they know it's a fucking Ponzi. It's just they are literally just there at the casino hoping that they're going to roll the dice and get in and out before other people will. Even if they just want influencers. Sometimes they just get accepted back after they know they've done like a rug or they know it's been a last pump and dump.
Oh, yeah.
You just like you're actually looking for those people to call the next call coin because you just want to play the game, right?
They want that.
I agree. Listen, people are here to gamble, man. I spend every week teaching people how to actually trade, and everyone's like, yeah, I don't really give a shit like right now. Like, tell me the next Solana shitcoin that's gonna like 10x. Yeah,
right.
And I'm like, if I knew that, like I would fucking buy it. But you know, maybe that's where I went wrong with my brand is I created a brand around helping people in education. And if I were to tweet out a Solana shitcoin, people would immediately be like, what the fuck? Main's been bought or paid shilled or da da da. Even though it's like, so maybe I'm just jealous that I can't play the game. Cause it'd be so off brand for me. It'd be insane.
We got hater main now.
So I'm just going to be a curmudgeon on the sideline being like, look at all these fuckers making money.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they're letting you have it on this fucking shiny thing. And I love it.
This has been a recurring theme for about 4 or 5 weeks now. I
thought about turning up with a bunch of oil for this show.
Into my life, dude.
You got to show up with like a face mask on next one or one of these ones for sure.
Yeah.
Really play it.
I feel like this crew we have like a good dinner. Like we should do like a dinner and like a few drinks. Like
OSF is hammered.
Like
invited me to dinner.
I did.
I've had dinner with you many times.
You are the top G.
I'm like the anti top G technically because I'm still holding those fucking coins.
It would be a good dinner crew anytime. I think we'll all convene.
I think KVM's in London next week. So Main and Amanda, if you guys are around, just fly over to London.
Yeah, maybe.
People realize how big Canada is.
I want to go to Canada.
For me to get to New York is like 6.5 hours.
What?
From where I live.
No,
flying.
Yeah, you're on the west side.
You need to get to Florida, man.
For me, Florida is all day. Yeah.
Wait, so you're in Vancouver?
I'm in Vancouver. So Vancouver to Toronto is like LA to New York. Completely across country. Like Canada is massive. Something that the European mind cannot comprehend. It's like I can fly for 10 hours, I can still be in Canada.
Flying to Montreal and that's less. Or if it's flown to like New York and it's kind of around that sort of time. So like,
Toronto to London is 6 hours. Toronto to Vancouver is 5.5.
Yeah, that's wild.
Have you ever looked at Canada on a map? Like, you look at like Canada on a map.
And it's just like big, and
it's like all this random shit in the middle of Canada. It's like, what the fuck is this?
90% of it is empty.
80% of Saskatchewan in Canada. Like, who lives there?
Hey,
like,
Saskatchewan. I'm just impressed. Like 80% of Canadian population lives within 100 kilometers of the border to the U.S. Like most of Canada is just a barren, cold wasteland full of mooses and bears and shit.
Yeah, no, I mean that's
and
what
with that we've ended the show. Yeah.
I didn't realize you're in I was in Vancouver last year. I would have hit you up if
anytime. Yeah, if you're into skiing or if you're into nature, like where I live is unreal.
Yeah, I love nature. Yeah.
I think
Mando is 70% oil. Mando, top holder of Nivea. Now you know what my life is, bro. This is every time
you turn the chat on. It's been hot in here. Mando's.
This is everything. This is my life ever since I went on Up Only with Kobe. Like all I get now is just people commenting on my neck.
I've seen you get tagged in some just the most hilarious videos of life.
And then Jaden will put my face over fucking the face of whatever disgusting creature it is. And
oh, Jaden got me a good background today with Dash on the Traeger. Yeah. Back here smoking in the background. You know how
cooking up a storm.
Yep, love it. But yeah, I don't know. Do we want to kick it off into the spins? Maybe a little, some closing questions.
Yeah, let's end it. So, like, you've become full boomer over the last 12 months. Very, very clearly. You have any big calls for the next 12 months?
I got engaged, boys. So there is hope, boys. There is hope out there.
You're out in the trenches.
Yeah, for some of you. Most of you, probably not, but some of you don't give up. There is one girl out there who might be interested in talking to you.
How do we not get wrecked?
How do you not get wrecked? Don't use leverage. Use trade with breakout. That's how you not get wrecked, right? Use my leverage instead of your own leverage. avoid getting wrecked, to be honest with you. Most of you have zero business trading with any sort of leverage. I don't think people realize how volatile crypto is on its own, that you do not need to use leverage. And there's going to be people saying, well, leverage is how I made it. And I say, probably not. It's how most of you might make it and then lose it all. And the amount of people who truly make it leverage trading is such a infinitesimal amount. Time in the market is way easier than timing the market. If you think we're at the beginning of a bullish trend or a bullish move, the goal is to try and catch the meat of it. You don't need to buy the bottom. You don't need to sell the top. And the last thing you need to do is fuck yourself over trading leverage in the time in between. If you're bullish on crypto, get exposure to crypto slowly over time. If you don't understand how to trade and things like that, don't try and fool yourself into thinking you're going to know when the market's going to turn around. GCR sent out a tweet. He said, Ethereum's going to go to 10K one day. What happens in between now and then is very hard to predict. But, you know, if you believe in something like that, do you really think you're going to outperform, something like Ethereum doing a 5X from here? Probably not. Get yourself some exposure, stay away from the leverage, and you'll probably be okay.
Maturity, man. Love that. Except rent's due every month, so we got to make enough to pay that. So
rent is due every month. Out. Yes.
Good shit, man. I don't know. You want to give the code, Obi, and like maybe we'll get the Twitter picker up, and Mando can do some spins.
Did we do the first code?
We did. Asked for more codes. They're really code hungry in the chat today.
Yeah,
I think it was main 512 or something like that.
Yeah, trade main 512. That was the first code. And the second code, I was just in the wrong Telegram. I love this one. Main character 5. Main character 5.
Oh, wow. God. Razor's been working on that. Okay.
If you didn't get the code, when main sponsorship, bro?
when main sponsorship?
Hey, there, maybe sooner or later. You never know.
You do realize you just spent the whole show saying don't use leverage, and
yeah, but you know what's fun is watching me gamble on slots and watching me use leverage. I'm the most entertaining streamer on crypto Twitter, and still no roll bit money. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, let's get the Twitter picker up.
Main is going to be the next roll bit ambassador.
It sounds
is that why you're calling shots against Sisyphus as well? Just one in, one out policy.
Oh,
is it?
Wow. Yeah, he works.
Oh, is he out? I wonder how much he got for that one tweet.
Jeez, he's going to come out hard on Sisyphus. What is that? Rec Guy?
Rec Guy actually won, it looks like.
Who the hell is retweeting that tweet from the Rec Guy account?